You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast with me, Joel Babington, and the boy straight from the nasty ghetto and into our hearts, David Lim. That was a song quote. That was a song quote. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're not calling me nasty ghetto. Although, I mean, people that know me really know.
Oh, you got to watch out for him. There's a reason why he had to leave Australia.
I'm really impressed, actually. You did that flawless Heidi run with no vocal warm-up, like just straight into it.
I've been warming up all day. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I missed the sound check. Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, JB.
I just want to say to our listeners, thank you for all the love last year. It's been really special for us to see a lot of feedback and love from you, especially, you know, in the downtime that we've just had in the natural end of year downtime. And I just want to say, I think the key for this year is to not be too hard on ourselves. Don't put too much pressure and just enjoy what we can. And let's just take everything as it comes. Let's not put all this pressure on ourselves. Like, this is going to happen. I'm going to be doing this. Let's just take everything as it comes and enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, just live for the moment.
So, Davey Wavy 123, shall we read out not one, but two lovely five-star reviews from our listeners?
Very exciting. Thank you guys so much for the love and support. As Joel said, you know, over the Christmas period, we saw a lot of you guys tweeting and DMing and saying, you know, how our last episode, our UK, huge, huge UK soap star to pop star extravaganza kept you guys company. And here are a couple of lovely new reviews that we've gotten. This one says, the cool kids at the back of the bus listening to an MP3. Is that you? Because that wasn't me.
I did used to sit on the back of the bus, actually. I used to get beaten up on the bus, actually, but that's another day or another story.
That is shocking.
That's what happens, like, school in Essex, mate.
Yeah, but nonetheless, still listening to an MP3. And this five-star review is from Kyle, who says, this is great. I found this pod on gay Twitter. Oh my God, Joel, we've made it on gay Twitter.
Hello, gay Twitter.
And I'm making my way through the back catalogue with a smiley emoji and a champagne bottle emoji. All right, Kyle, you live your best life, honey.
Cheers, Kyle.
Cheers, Kyle. And then the next five-star review we have is from Sugar Babes Overloaded. Love, love, love your work, guys. Big shout out from Sugar Babes Overloaded. Your latest episode on the Sugar Babes was ace. Keep the sugar coming with a kiss. Well,
for you today, we are doing a Sugar Babes part two. If you are enjoying what we're doing, please do leave us a five-star review and we might be reading it out soon. And if you're not already, follow us on Instagram and all the socials at Right Back Pod, because we have loads of fun over there too. Right, David, Sugar Babes part two. So let's do a quick catch up of part one. The Sugar Babes came on the scene, Siobhan, Mutya, Keisha. They came on the scene, these cool, edgy girls, kind of All Saints Juniors in a way. And then, you know, had a lineup change. Heidi joined, Siobhan left. Two huge UK number ones. Second album. The Sugar Babes are really on top. And here we are today talking about the next chapter of the band.
So this episode, we're going to cover Sugar Babes from the Three era, their third album, Taller in More Ways, and the Overloaded singles collection. And of course, we're going to cover the next lineup change, which sees Mutya leaving and Amel Bereba joining the group. There are some absolutely iconic hits in this episode, Joel. We're talking Hole in the Head. We're talking Too Lost in You, Push the Button. Like, this is the era where we see them score 7 consecutive UK top 10 singles and their first UK number one album. So this is a big one to get into.
This is literally, to some might say, peak babes.
Yeah.
And maybe for me, peak babedom.
Certainly like the point where I feel personally I came into the fandom, the babedom properly. This era definitely saw the Sugar Babes, for me anyway, as the main pop girl group, because Destiny's Child were on hiatus around this point. They were doing their solo projects and I was only slowly getting into Girls Aloud. I was tiptoeing around the outside, but like this era, this chapter, I was well inside the babedom.
My entry pass to the babedom is on its way in this episode.
Oh, gosh. And it's very exciting. Lots of memories, lots of hits. We're going to get into it. But, you know, just a bit of foreshadowing as well. Our next part will be the final part of the Sugar Babes trilogy on Right Back At You, where we cover Change, Catfights and Spotlights, and, of course, Sweet Seven. We cannot do this without talking about Sweet Seven. So that's all still to come. Stay locked into the Right Back At You
universe
galaxy, because there are multiple series happening. We had someone DM us like a couple of weeks ago, go, what happened to part two of this? And what about part two of that? And we're like, oh yeah.
It's all coming, darling. It's all coming.
It's all on the list. Yes. It's all on the list.
Yes, David, look at you teasing part three whenever that will be. All very exciting. So, David Lim of Australia, now in the UK, shall we pick things up in October 2003?
Let's do it. Hole in the Head.
Hole in the Head. What a banger. I just think that is an absolutely amazing way to set off this era. It really is one of like the top Sugar Babes songs.
Signature.
It's definitive. Signature. When they perform it, you're like, oh my God, yes.
This single was so bloody exciting when it hit us in Australia. Like, I remember, like, just reading the reviews for it. And this was probably one of the earlier times where I took notice of the name Xenomania. You know, I might have seen it mentioned in, like, the odd Girls Aloud single reviews that we had. Shout out Cameron Adams, if you're listening, from the Herald Sun. One of the only people I knew in mainstream press in Australia who wrote about Girls Aloud's first era.
God bless you, Cammers. God bless you.
Cammers! But this is an absolute banger. Very typical of what Xenomania do. Lots of different structures, lots of quirky lyrics that maybe don't quite make sense, but nonetheless, it's just full
don't
of
matter.
Character.
Don't matter, darling. Well, this song as well was the first time the girls had charted in America, but this was kind of used as their like American launch and push, which is why this had the kind of American references in it.
But that's what makes it also like quite interesting. Like the lyric Ricky Lake on Play always like just stood out to me. And I remember reading an interview with Brian Higgins of Xenomania a few years ago. He was saying how like they took a very different approach to writing for Girls Aloud versus Sugar Babes. You know, the girls usually in Sugar Babes would take a lot of the songwriting lead with the verses and stuff like that, and maybe, you know, the Xenomania collective will come in with the chorus. And the lyric Ricky Lake on Play was actually inspired by the kind of trashy American telly that they would watch in between writing.
David, though, considering that this is potentially considered the American push video, I found the music video a bit lackluster, if I'm honest.
Do you know what, watching it back in fresh eyes, present day, it's actually not as exciting as I remembered it to be. It's interesting that you mentioned the kind of American intention, if you will, because it's directed by a groundbreaking US director and photographer, Matthew Rolston, who had worked with Madonna, The Power of Goodbye, also did Destiny's Child's Bootylicious, Your Girl, Mandy Moore, In My Pocket. You know, the budget is there. We want to get a really top-notch music video director in. And the mood board, the flavor of it was kind of, you know, depicting the Sugar Babes as sort of groupies, right? Like, so that were following a rock band around, which I'm kind of like, nah.
There was also, I saw online, an American version. It was pretty much the same. I couldn't really tell what the difference was. I think just some shots were taken out or some different shots were used.
They put an American flag bandana on Keisha. Like what they did with Martine McCutcheon.
Nothing that exciting, unfortunately.
It's a great visual representation. And, you know, Sugar Babes always wanted to stand out as a more edgier, more kind of alternative girl group. So
it's a fantastic video, I guess. So shall we talk about charts?
In research for this episode, it's made me realise that they really were working non-stop. It was only 7 months earlier that they dropped the last single from the previous album. This was my first Sugar Babes CD that I ever bought.
So, speaking of Australia, it was a 25 hit on the ARIA charts, which is, you know...
disappointing. Thought it would do better, but...
I was going to say fantastic, but hey-ho.
Yeah, I think I'm just like so used to being berated by you on this podcast whenever something charts badly in Australia. One of our listeners, John, DM'd me to say like, oh, you know, I think it's just one of my favourite bits when it's just like, oh, David.
I'm clearly just in a good mood today. 25, fantastic. I think because maybe you ahead of time told me you bought the single, so I can't even say, what were you thinking?
You can't slag me off then. Yeah, I did my bit. Yeah.
We have to say it was a huge UK number one hit, which is absolutely brilliant for the girls.
This single sold over 58,000 copies in the first week in the UK, eventually going on to sell over 185,000 copies. It is their third UK number one single, and it spent 4 weeks in the top 10 and 14 weeks in total on the UK charts. So a very present, very signature hit for our Sugar Babes.
Number 96 on the Billboard Hot 100. Now, that is fantastic. It cracked the top 100, and it was also number one on the US dance club songs on the Billboard charts.
Amazing.
Number two in Norway, two in Ireland, three on the Euro Hot 100. I mean, this is pretty impressive stuff. Five in Austria.
Before we leave Hole in a Head altogether, must say, big shout out to the B-side, Who, which I know lots of people in the babedom would tip their hats to this as a very signature, strong, smashing B-side. Very angular electropop banger. Love to see that sassiness. Love to see that attitude. But it's you talking dirty when I'm trying to sleep. And it's you said you love me after just 1 week. Tell me who's always calling on my telephone. Now it's you trying to tell me we should take it slow. Speaking of the lovely babedom,
guys, we are sorry. David, we got a little bit of...
what?
Not flack, because it's happened? All love. But we didn't please the babedom, David. We forgot to mention a beloved track, Blue. Everyone was really upset that we didn't pick it out. Look, we can't pick out every track, but just giving it a bit of love here, because it is a fantastic song. It might have ended up on the cutting room floor. What you hear, there's like a whole other episode's worth of content that you don't hear.
You know, our Sugar Babes have like A-sides and B-sides. We've got our B-sides collection coming. It's just all the off-cuts. Most of it's Joel singing, but yeah.
Shall we get into the third Sugar Babes album, Three?
Yes, honey, get into this.
So, what's really interesting about this album, David, is that the girls all have a solo track on there.
I actually didn't know this.
I wouldn't have realised.
I didn't realise. And I had this album. This was my first ever Sugar Babes album. And I know these songs. Some of them in the chorus, you still hear the other girls harmonising. But then now you listen back, you go, oh yeah, actually one person's taking the lead. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? It's like a real sort of compliment to them, or hats off to them, because they have such three signature different sounding voices. But I guess you're just there in the experience that you don't think about it. What I really liked was Keisha's solo track, Whatever Makes You Happy. Empowering, upbeat, banger. Get in there straight at track number two, Keisha. You're telling me your definition of a pop star. You give a smile as you cover up your heart. Tell me what to say and I'll deliver it. I won't stop, can't stop. So whatever makes you happy, is it crazy?
This was the one as well that was singled out in the reviews a lot, because I think the lyrics kind of took a bit of a swipe at talent shows like Pop Idol. So it was very timely of the time. Obviously, you know, everyone was obsessed with Pop Idol. It was a huge phenomenon that was shaking up the industry. So, you know, Keisha has the finger on the pulse there. Voice of the people and the industry.
I have to say, with the other two solo songs, They seemed a little bit filler to me, especially considering what great vocalists they are.
So Maya, which is the track that Mutya has the solo on, was one that she wrote about her sister who died unexpectedly. So it's a very personal track.
Oh my gosh.
And the Heidi solo track, Sometimes, is actually one of my faves back in the day when I got the CD. It just sounded like an Alicia Keys style ballad. Good on you, Heidi, getting in there with that little vocal showcase.
Could be a little DL1 B-side, that. David Lim does Heidi Range and Alicia Keys on a standout B-side.
Get that fedora and that pinstripe suit. Don't you play with me, 'cause
I thought A Million Different Ways was a great, solid album track.
Mm, very interesting rhythmic production-wise. I love that. That was an instant fave of mine as well. Absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I have to say, really, this album has seen the girls emerge as more confident and more in control and in charge of their sonic direction. You know, this is a very sonically diverse body of work. Vocally, they've really matured as well. Written every track on this album except for Too Lost in You, which is a Diane Warren song. We're seeing new collaborators come on board as well. Obviously, Xenomania, they've worked with before, this time doing 5 songs. But also Linda Perry did Nasty Ghetto, the song that you attributed to me before. Now, as you know, Linda Perry got in a little bit of trouble with Sugar Babes last time around because she wrote that song Makeover for Christina Aguilera Stripped that, you know, sounded a lot like Overload. So Linda Perry's on board for one song on this album. We got Guy Sigsworth, who has worked with Madonna, Bjork, in there as well. So it's a beautiful maturation and next level progression of the Sugar Babes artistry, but not what everyone is doing at the time. There was still a little bit of edge and a little bit of quirkiness in there.
And then we have to do a shout out to Conversations Over, the song that we need to use whenever we need to veto the other person's idea.
But we would never reveal which ones we vetoed, basically.
No, there's some secrets we'll never tell.
Exactly, because we do change our minds a lot as well. So, you know, it might be,
veto one day, release the other.
Yeah, exactly. Things happen like that. Also, I must say, if I don't give a shout out to this track, the babedom really will fucking come for me. Situation's heavy. I've always paid this song dust, basically. And when I was sharing my Sugar Babes playlist last year, someone DM'd me and said, you haven't got Situations Heavy on there. Upon their insistence, I listened to it again. And I was like, do you know what? Actually, yeah. Worthy of a place. Moody drum and bass style ballad co-written by none other than Bewitch's Adele Lynch.
Oh, the Adele of the 90s.
Yeah, the real Adele. Yeah.
The real Adele. Amazing. Keeping it, you know, edgy and poppy all at the same time. So the third Sugar Babes album, titled 3, went in at where? Number 3 on the UK charts. That is absolutely brilliant.
You should have called the album Number 1 and see what happened.
Yeah. really, really strong way in there for the girls. It was at number 4 on the Australian Hit Seekers albums charts. Now, David, was your copy from the library or?
I actually have very, very fond memories of buying this album, Joel, because I was in year 11. You would have spare periods in your timetable, which you're meant to use to study quietly, privately. What I did with a couple of mates was go to the shopping mall. You're not meant to leave school grounds when school is in session, but we snuck out of school. I went to HMV or, you know, Sanity or one of these places, and I bought my copy of 3. And I came back to school and I showed everyone. And then I realized, oh, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that because I'm not meant to be out.
I can just see that playing out as a montage now. You leaving school, you and your friends laughing, the excitement of you running up to get the CD, coming back, everyone crowded around you, you showing it off.
I remember like one of the popular girls at school, you know, 15 coats of fake tan, bleached blonde hair, walks up and goes, what you get then? Let's have a look. And I pulled out the Sugar Babes album. She's like, all right, okay. I was like,
right.
Where's the excitement, girls? Like,
well, look, David, you were researching. You were researching for your podcast however many years later. You just didn't know at the time. So, well, well done for getting it top four on the Hit Seekers chart then. Where else was it? Number four on the Dutch album charts, 10 in Germany, 9 in Ireland. Big Euro smash. Gold in Germany, gold in Russia, gold in Switzerland, 2 times platinum in the UK, 4 in Scotland. I'm disappointed there, Scotland. Why have you gone one lower than us?
We must also say 3 by the Sugar Babes was also nominated for a Brit Award for Best Album, and it stayed on the UK charts for 41 weeks, making it their second longest charting album ever, second to Angels with Dirty Faces. Now, this album got a US release in July 2004, the following year, and during this time, the girls used this opportunity to meet with some US producers and writers for their 4th album. So, you know, the push was there for 3.
So, shall we go to December 2003?
Too Lost in You. Now, this one is a signature hit. I mean, we're 2 singles into this episode and there's already so many signatures. But yeah, this is a Christmassy classic, isn't it, JB? After a couple of drinks at home on a Friday night, I've got the flat to myself. Like, this is one to belt out.
Oh, wow.
Channeling the spirit of Keisha Buchanan.
Well, would love to hear Chris's review of that. The words, no one can rescue me, you know, he feels that line. No, this amazing song, absolutely brilliant, fantastic. And also, for such like a Christmassy winter warmer, bit of a saucy video, isn't it? It's a bit sexy.
I wasn't expecting this.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
Isn't it funny the things that you just notice, like, or don't notice when you're a kid watching music videos? Like, I just always thought, oh, yeah, it was just the girl strolling through an airport, which, by the way, is Stansted Airport. Like, come on, Hans. You know, guys could have found them a better location.
Well, and you know, apparently that was still active. So they didn't have like an unused shop for the day. So they had to keep stopping and starting when it was clear.
Oh my God. Like, imagine all the consent forms for everyone that's in the video. Little Timmy in the background.
That would have been me just creeping into shot every time. Excuse me, chubby little boy. Can you move away? I think that's the Sugar Babes.
Or like you going outside when Mutia's having a smoke and like pestering her for an autograph.
Excuse me.
And your mum's like, Joe, our flight's leaving.
1 minute, mum. I think the thing is that like, kid, like you just don't care about like sexy or whatever. Like, but I think because we watch it then, and we wouldn't, like we don't care. It is what it is. But I think because we watch it kind of with like open eyes, it kind of catches you off guard. But obviously, like, you know, if you want to be sexy, be sexy.
Yeah. The girls had a bit of holiday horn. They were strolling through the airport, eyeing up the guy loading up the bags and go, all right, okay.
Oh, he's a bit of all right.
Yeah.
So, no, it is funny though, isn't it? Because I just don't know where the mood concept. Board, the concept came from. So we're going to have you walking along the airport. Now, we aren't going to get a closed airport corridor, so we are going to have to stop and start, but that's fine. They're walking along the corridor looking sexy, and then they catch the eye of someone they fancy, And next thing you know, they're imagining them, like, you know, very sexy in bed with them. You know, have they? Is that, you know, in a hotel room, in a bedroom?
The Holiday Inn?
Or is that just in, you know, the security bit? You know, and they're like, excuse me, you got to come through here. And it's all very, like, with the whip and, like, the ice or whatever. It was a bit like, oh, gosh.
It's 50 Shades of Sugar Babes, yeah.
50 Shades of Sugar Babes. Now, these are obviously like really sexy girls and like own it, go for it. It did feel like this would have been really awkward to film.
Do you know what? This would be so me as a pop star. I'm touring relentlessly. I'm doing promo nonstop. When am I ever going to meet a man? Schedule it in for a video shoot. Yeah. At Stansted.
But a classic video. And I think we're actually going to see this concept used again in a way and improved later down the line, but more on that later. Yes, it's in Love Actually. It is a Christmas classic. And I know it's a busy time in the charts, but goes in at number 10 on the UK charts. Now, yes, that is brilliant, but for this song and this band, it's also criminal.
I think a lot of us would be surprised that this only peaked at number 10. It feels like a very big top three single, perhaps, for the Sugar Babes. But, you know, I think sometimes the legacy is the proof, and that's all you really need. The fact that this is still the one that if they sing it live anywhere, it's the one that goes off and everyone sings along with it. Every Christmas it gets a resurgence. That's your testimony.
Yeah, maybe in 20 years this will be like the how Mariah's only just gone to number one with All I Want for Christmas Is You. Maybe we'll get Too Lost in You to Christmas number one eventually. So even, you know, when MKS did the MKS tour, the intro to this song, Siobhan said it was her favourite one to sing. So just a classic, just a classic. So this did chart in Australia at number 31. Mm. Come on, David.
I'm now back to being berated.
You had your moment. Well done. 31 in New Zealand. Come on, guys. You are normally our guys. What are you thinking? Number 8 in the Netherlands. 7 in Norway, 9 in Poland, 12 in Scotland. Scotland, what are you doing? You know, I'm going to get a bit funny in a minute. 13 in Ireland. Come on, guys. 13 in Hungary, 14 in Germany.
Strong start to the three era for the girls. Top three album, 2 top 10 singles, 1 massive number one. So this is the Sugar Babes coming into their own.
These strong moments aren't stopping any time soon, David. Shall we fast forward to March 2004 with the girls' next single, one of my personal favourites, In the Middle? Yeah, I'm caught up in the middle, jumping through the riddle. I'm falling just a little tonight, 'cause everybody's making trouble.
Oh, this one feels like a real fan favorite. I absolutely love, love, love this song. And I cannot believe in my extensive eBay haul last year when I went and bought a bunch of Sugar Babes singles, this wasn't part of it. I reckon the seller loved it so much, kept it for himself.
Kept it.
Gave me a copy of Follow Me Home instead. Who wants that?
Well, we'll get to that, David Lynn. There's a time and a place, and it's in about an hour's time. So, look, banger. This is it, mate. I love it. And I know it's kind of like they have given us up tempo, but it feels like this is the most routine pop band they've given us so far at this point. You know, the most kind of straight up pop.
It's a fun girls' night out banger, which I don't think we really have had from the Sugar Babes before. I guess Freak Like Me was a kind of sexy night out kind of banger. And this is just pure fun. I absolutely love the kind of men are from Venus, girls are from Mars kind of lyrical take. You know, why can't the boys be the toys that the girls want the boys to be? Why can't the girls see the world that the boys want the girls to see? Like, feminism, gender constructs just broken down for us in a pop song.
Get that framed. That can replace all your Prosecco o'clock signs. Gin. Thinking about gin or whatever. And I loved seeing a bit of a routine from the girls because they're all great movers. You know, also like brilliant music video at this point in as well.
Oh, I was absolutely gagging the first time I saw this music video on telly. I couldn't rush to get my little video in the VHS player quick enough to record it. So I only managed to record half of it. And the sad thing about this single is that I feel like it was a little bit underpromoted in Australia. Like, I think there was only one time I ever saw that music video. And what a stunning video it was. A green screen extravaganza.
But done well.
Keisha there looking like a Victoria's Secret model in a shiny silver bikini, shimmery makeup. Heidi giving her best Alicia Keys, but in a sexy pink boudoir, you know. Suit, fedora, pink bra. It's very Martine meets Alicia Keys, I think.
So Martine.
Yeah, very Martine. And then Mutya in the black corset, you know.
Pole dancing.
I mean,
get it. Have a bit of fun.
I'd love to hear this on a night out. I have to say, I've never heard In the Middle out and about before, you know.
Yeah, we'll play it when we guest DJ somewhere. We are available.
Yeah, at the Jenny Frost warehouse party, yeah.
So, I mean, look, we'll have to see if Jen's comfortable with that, you know.
We haven't run it by her yet.
We're just putting
her name on it. Like that bloody beauty salon you and I saw on our walk that had a picture of Rihanna and Beyonce and
Jennifer Lynn Lopez
on the front of their store. I was like, excuse me, you just went on Getty Images and bought those stock pictures, didn't you?
Oh, you think they bought them? Yeah, look, I don't care what they did. I've already booked my appointment. I'm getting the full Beyonce, Rihanna, J-Lo experience. I don't know how, but I want to blow out. shall we talk about chart positions for In the Middle? This came in at number 8 here. Now, for a third single and the album's out, that is really good. And they're on tour. That is a really strong number 8. Number 33 in Australia. So I know it's not great and I know I've berated you about it, but it is nice to see them like constantly...
Consistent.
It is consistent. Belgium number 9. Thank you, Belgium. Hungary number 9. Thank you, Hungary. Oh, on the dance top 40, but we don't need to worry about that. 13 in Ireland. I'm going to have to write a letter. I mean, what is going on here? 7 in the Netherlands. 8 in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland. You know, staying on par.
And we have to say, In the Middle was also nominated for a Brit Award for Best Single. So, taste. That's all we can say. Taste.
Yeah, thank you, Brits. About time. That's how good this song is, though. So, yes, they were on the 3 tour around this time, which, you know, there are a tiny few little clips. There's a Pop World Behind the Scenes tour video interview thing. It looked like a really fab tour. They had a bed on stage for some of it. You know, looks like quite a bit of production there.
Yeah, I really wish I could have seen the Sugar Babes live at this point in the first kind of big mainstream flush of success.
So, you found out a story or a moment from this 3 tour, didn't you?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, we know with the Sugar Babes that there's always stuff in the tabloids and always stuff in the press about infighting. And sometimes it feels like, I think it's just a little bit blown out of proportion, or is there like real issues behind the scenes? Now, no one's really going to know except for the 3 girls that are involved, but they did cancel 2 nights in Dublin on this tour. The first night they cancelled there, it was literally within 10 minutes of them starting, and they cited it due to illness, contrary to the reports in the Mirror that Keisha and Heidi were rowing. In 2005, the following year, Keisha did tell The Guardian that they did have one big row in Dublin, and it was over Britney Spears' Toxic. Now, I need a little bit... That's not enough info there.
You can't leave us with that,
Keisha. Like, this sounds like a fight that you and I would have.
I was thinking that exactly. I think it can't be as simple as one pro and one against. I think maybe there was something specific about the song or the music video. Surely it was more layered than one person saying it was a good song and one person didn't. To cancel 2 shows of your tour.
Exactly. I mean, that is huge. So maybe like Heidi was like, there's no way that red hair wasn't a wig. And Keisha's like, honey, I know a wig. That is a wig. And then boom.
Get out.
Sandwiches were thrown backstage.
Yeah, Do you really think Britney dyed her hair all those different colours for the video? Get out. That needs to be a mini series in and of itself. Like,
yeah. Netflix, if you want to commission Joel Babington to write a series based on this fictitious fight about Britney's toxic, he is available.
It's like The Crown, but the Sugar Babes. So basically much better. And yeah, look, hit tour, hit song, maybe a little bit of drama behind the scenes, but life can be dramatic, you know.
We don't want to dwell on the kind of dramas and the kind of infighting.
The cat fights and spotlights.
We don't want to dwell on that. But while we're here, we might as well just say in that same Guardian interview in 2005, they did ask about whether Heidi was given a hard time in a band. So this is what the journalist at The Guardian wrote. And what about the claims that Mutya went out of her way to make life difficult for Heidi when she joined? I never argued with her, corrects Mutya. I just didn't speak to her. I thought, I've worked from the youngest age to get to where I am, and here she is, just jumping in. I found that really hard. And do you know what? I have to say, I respect that honesty. Like, that is, you know, obviously Mutya is not going to go the extra mile and go, but you know what? We're all family now. You know, she's the sister I've never had. And I just, of course she likes Heidi. And, you know, of course they have a good working relationship. Otherwise it wouldn't have continued as long as it did. But because Mutya is not that kind of fluffy showbiz person, she'll just tell you as it is. Joel, were we that horrible when you moved into our flat? joking. I used to say that our flat was like the Sugar Babes. Like, I just don't know which lineup we were when we were both in it.
I think I was the Jade of the flat, definitely.
And who was I? Was I Mel?
You were the Heidi.
Good times.
So, do you want to get caught in a moment?
Yeah, let's get caught in a moment, JB.
Let's go to August 2004. And instead of releasing a summer up tempo, you know, a Despacito, if you will, they have released a summer ballad. I know we're caught in a moment, and I won't let it go. I'm falling deep and losing my control. Involved in a feeling like the blink of an eye. And the silence in my
Joel, they were thinking about their Australian fans because it was winter then.
Yeah.
And we didn't get this single released over there.
This is like, that's exactly like when you plan your birthday party to please other people and they don't even bloody show up and you're not even doing what you wanted to do for your birthday. Again, an absolute gorgeous ballad. These ballads have really won me over. They are absolutely stunning.
I'll be honest, JB, I did not see this music video until their singles collection DVD came out many years later. So this completely passed me by at the time.
So this went in at number 8 here in the UK. A summer 8, when the album's out, this is the 4th single. That is very impressive. It's amazing that this album, every single is pretty much a staple Sugar Babe single, even now to this day. Number 9 in Scotland, you're slipping again, Scotland. Ooh.
I feel like Scotland is just bearing the backhand of the JB this episode. Like, I'm getting off easy. I know, because I bought a few CD singles back in the day, I'm being let off the hook here. But Scotland, you in danger, girl.
If you think Scotland's bad, listen to this one, David. Thank goodness I'm sitting down. Ireland, 28. So now we're actually going to see just over a year between this and the next single. But obviously there's a lot going on here. In this time, Mutya is pregnant with her first child, has her child.
Literal sugar babe.
The first sugar baby, yes. Then has some maternity leave. But really, when you look at it, nowhere near as much of a break as that woman deserved.
We've read in interviews of her saying, you know, if she wasn't in the Sugar Babes, she would have had a baby by the time she's 19. And she's really chuffed to say that she's done both. And what I thought was really sweet was that Keisha and Heidi arrived at the Capitol Awards holding It's a Girl balloons, you know, just to represent Mutya and just go, hey, you know.
Around this time, they were also recording their 4th album, which we'll get into in due course. And I'm assuming this is around the time they were offered the huge global smash hit song. Do you know which song that is, David?
No.
They were offered the chance to record and release Don'tcha by the Pussycat Dolls.
Stop it.
But turned it down. Because you know how on our Pussycat Dolls episode, we talked about how someone released it first, then it went to the Dolls. I'm guessing it was at that point the label must have thought, look, that wasn't a huge hit, but we still think this could be a big hit for someone. So it was offered to both the Sugar Babes and who turned it down and someone else. Do you want to guess who the other person was?
Oh my God,
was?
No, I'm at the edge of my seat.
Paris Hilton. I would have loved to have seen either of those people release it, but I think Paris would have been slated it if she would have
done
it.
I don't think it's the right time for the Sugar Babes.
I don't think it's the right time
yet. Sugar Babes 4.0 with Jade Ewan. That's the time to do Don'tcha.
No, this...
Oh, this is where we fall out.
Thank goodness it's being recorded.
There will be no part three, guys.
Look, we've already had two Lost in You. That is showing a bit. The single that we're about to talk about is kind of the more playful version of Don'tcha. Shall we go into September 2005, David? The Sugar Babes are back and they are about to deliver the most famous, the definitive song, Push the Button.
This is an exciting comeback, and we can't even really call it a comeback because they've never left. But it's cute, it's flirty, it's fun. But I also really love the minimalist electropop production. Like, it was just so cool. You know, it's just timeless.
I mean, we all know, but this song, it took the Sugar Babes to new heights. And this song really is a big, fun pop song in the way that the pop audience is going to love it. But I don't think any of the cool crowd's going to go, oh, they've sold out. It's just a brilliant pop track.
And I absolutely love The Guardian's review of this song. I mean, Alexis Petridis described Push the Button as something that marvelously sounds like the kind of record that ABBA might have made if they survived the Acid House era. Even though they worked with a big American producer, Dallas Austin, who has worked with Monica, Khalees, Pink, this sounds like him doing something for them. If they had come back with something like Don'tcha, that distinctly sounds like they were trying too hard to be
American,
you know, leaning into the American market, they would have been slated for it. So I feel like this was the perfect balance.
Yeah, and this was, I was about 14 when this came out, and it was really in the time of becoming like an uber fan of pop music. And as well, because it just felt like, as I've often said on this podcast, it did just feel like in mainstream pop, you basically had the Sugar Babes and Girls Aloud. Everything else was a bit far and few between because it was all like a bit indie, a bit rocker. And it was great that I loved something that seemed to be so universally loved as well. It wasn't some obscurity that was just me on my own enjoying, you know?
Yeah. This must have been around the MySpace era for me. I just remember like posting the lyrics, just, you know, subtly. I've been dropping so many hints. He's still not getting it. You know, I'm just like posting these lyrics on my MySpace, hoping he would see it.
Just while checking who's getting into your top eight.
Hands up, guys. How many of you put the lyrics or Push the Button in your dating profiles, like, or your status updates? We've all done it.
Go for
We've
it, guys.
All done
Go
it.
For it. Do it now. Do it now.
I'm busy showing him what he's been missing. I'm kind of showing off his full attention. My sexy ass has got him in a new dimension. I'm ready to do something to relieve this mission.
Poetry. So this is the song as well where I feel like they've kind of reused the concept for Too Lost in You a little bit, but they've put it in a lift and it's the much more fun, colourful version of the video. I think they've improved that concept. It's kind of like Disney friendly sexy.
They were trying to be sexy but also comedic because the gyrating was so obviously like just taking the piss, right?
Yeah, so iconic.
I loved seeing all the YouTube comments under this video. People were saying stuff like, when I was a kid, I thought they were just singing about pushing the buttons in elevators. Someone else wrote, another episode of What the Fuck, my childhood song turned out to be so sexual. And then when I was a kid, I thought the girls were bullying the guys.
Well, we all know the story of how this song came about. It was they were recording this album, recording this in the studio, and Keisha really fancied a guy and he wasn't making the moves. And she was just like, when's he going to push the button? And that's how Push the Button came around. This was a UK number one smash hit. I mean, it's just, I think the UK especially, I can't speak for anywhere else in the world, still loves it to this day. It is still a big signature crowd pleaser. Even getting to see, obviously like seeing them back in the day, it was such an event with this song. But even going to see Mucci, Keisha, Siobhan on tour and when they sung this, it was just so exciting. It was so electric.
I mean, bloody hell. Here in London, we have a club night named after it.
The best club night, Push the Button. It's so, yeah, exactly. So here we are, David, number three in Australia.
Oh, finally, Australia came through. This is undoubtedly the Sugar Babes' biggest hit there by a mile.
Thank you, New Zealand. You're back in the room, number one in New Zealand. Just Turkey know and get it right sometimes. VB at number one, the Sugar Babes in at number one in Turkey. Thank you, Turkey. Scotland back in the room, number one in Scotland. Number one in Ireland. Thank you. About bloody time.
The first number one hit in Ireland, yes.
Number one on the European Hot 100. And literally charted so many other places, but let's just stick with those top hitters.
And this was also nominated for a Brit Award for Best Single. These girls are constantly getting nominated.
The Sugar Babes, they've reached a whole new peak for the babes and the babedom. And now, 1 week after Push the Button, they are coming in strong with their fourth album, Taller in More Ways. Because you know what they are, David? They are Taller in More Ways.
Taller in More Ways was, for me, maybe for the longest time, my favourite Sugar Babes album. This is the album that I feel like I spent the most time with. And I remember feeling that I was quite alone in my admiration for this album. Like, I had one friend at uni in particular, Scott, who sometimes still listens to our podcast, by the way.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott. He was my pop music friend. We went to see Melanie C together.
Aww.
He felt like the only one that really understood my love and my depth of appreciation for this album, and no one else was talking about it.
This album is brilliant, and it is another new sort of turn and touch for the girls. I would say with each album, it's quite like its own thing. It's all consistently one band, but they all have their own little unique touch on, in a way that you never think, oh, well, I mean, maybe the last one, but in another way that you go, well, this is something really different. But it is different, but it's also still the Sugar Babes, you know?
I think with every album, as they've gone along, it's been a very natural maturation. And also, like, you cannot take a pop group, any pop group, including the Sugar Babes, out of the equation of what was happening in the mainstream. So what they were doing in 2005 was very much where they were in their own journey as artists and as women growing up. But also, it keeps in touch with what is happening culturally. You know, the year 2005 really saw dominance from America when it comes to pop music. You know, the Black Eyed Peas were absolutely huge at this time. Mariah was making her big comeback with We Belong Together / Emancipation Mimi.
Gwen Stefani,
as you said.
Rihanna.
I think in like October or November 2005 was when Pussycat Dolls debuted. So, you know, it really does feel like America was sort of taking the lead with the more exciting moves in pop music. And they were more R&B inflected. They were more hip hop inflected. So naturally, I think for our big players here in the UK, they wanted to keep up with what was happening.
Yeah, we didn't get any like sudden features like Snoop Dogg, you know, like Jessica Mauboy did or anything like that.
No, but I feel like they were kind of tiptoeing on the precipice of this, and actually reading the reviews for Taller in More Ways now, I can see that the press really jumped on it. Like they, you know, it kind of felt like the British press was a little bit protective of the Sugar Babes. Like they are our thing. They're a British band. So why are they working with American producers? Why are they trying to sound more American R&B leaning?
So they were actually saving a few things for the American release, weren't they, David?
Whichever interview it was that I sent you, was it Heidi or Keisha that said that? Oh, yeah, actually, We've recorded a few ballads that, you know, the UK audience would think is a little bit much or a bit cheesy, but it will be perfect for the American market. I'm like, where are they?
Fantastic. Yeah. Release them now. It's never too late.
Can you imagine Sugar Babes featuring Usher, My Boo, that song he did with Alicia Keys?
I don't know if I...
There's always that one person that will always have your heart. Heidi comes in.
My boo, I see you, Usher, baby. I'll be the boo for you. So let's get back to the album, David. Back on point, please. As you tell me often, there's a lot of tangents there. Can I jump straight in with a standout, which I think is pretty much everyone's standout? Gotta be you. That is an absolute banger. Now, this was as well quoted as one of Mutia's favourite from the album. She was quoted as saying, I guess if it came on in a club, I wouldn't mind dancing to it. She shrugged.
High praise.
That's like a quote for the poster.
It's almost as good as the classic Nick Levine Digital Spy review, where I think Nick reviewed the Saturdays, one of their tracks, and just said, catchy enough.
Catchy enough.
I mean, that was Mutia's catchy enough. Yeah. Interestingly, Joel, this was originally recorded as a demo by Ciara.
Amazing.
My favorite verse is definitely Mutia's verse, where she goes, now you're talking this stuff, seems I'm getting dis what? Newsweek, you would say today, look at Mutia. I mean, honey, Newsweek, published by the Washington Post, is known for their in-depth analysis of international issues and politics, so... Yeah, they're definitely talking about Mutia.
Of course
yeah.
they are. I'm guessing they changed that lyric on the Amel re-recorded version. Now you're talking this stuff. Seems I'm getting this buck news week. You would say today, look at this luck. Y'all
can't ever really even know me. Because my ass is the only thing y'all see. I remember having to like go online and look up the lyrics because I was very curious that like, what would Amel say in a re-recording? She can't say Mutia.
What are your standouts, David, on this album?
So aside from Gotta Be You, I also really, really loved Ace Reject. Ace Reject is, I think, one of the best Sugar Babes album tracks ever.
Wowzers.
Melancholy, cool, windswept pop ballad. Very signature Xenomania, where like they're experimenting with different structures and melodies, but somehow when you listen to it, it all kind of fits together in one mood.
Yeah, I think it definitely does feel like it's one of those like fan favorites. It feels like something quite referenced heavily in a pinnacle album track.
As much as the Babedom and us like to talk about Ace Reject and give it its flowers, the girls were paying it dust on the tour because they did not perform this song in the 2006 tour. Joel, I must say that I was living with a different version of this song for very many years. So when I downloaded this album, there was an edited version of this song. And I know I'm not alone because when I look on a Pop Justice forums, there are lots of people saying this as well. The first time I heard it on Spotify, I was like, Mutia, what are you singing about? Back to your tracks. Any other faves for you, Joel?
I think It Ain't Easy is a really nice club album track.
Wow.
And this song, though, it does sound like it's using a sample of Depeche Mode's Personal Jesus, but I don't think it is, but it sounds like it is.
There are a few kind of 80s nods on this album. Their cover of Obsession was another one.
I think that's quite random, that 80s cover of Obsession, if I'm honest. When I first heard the album in 2005, I was like, oh my God, this is so saucy. Like, you know, who do you want me to be to make you sleep with me? I could not believe they were just laying it out on a plate like that.
For me, I have to say one other album track that was a standout is Bruised, which is written by Kathy Dennis and Guy Sigsworth. And I think the backing track is very similar to the Push the Button B-side, Like the Weather, which is also written by the girls and Kathy and Guy. So I feel like they probably used the same track twice. But I love Bruce because it brings back so many memories. After every time my dad and I would have a huge shouting match, I would go and listen to Bruce. I was just coming out. I was just coming into my own. So yeah, after leaving high school was when I got my terrible teen years. My poor dad, him and I clashed a lot.
Yeah, but look, darling, we've all got a lot of angst and you've got to let it out. Like, we've got emotions flying here, there and everywhere. We don't know how to deal with it. Our parents don't know how to deal with us. Yeah.
Ice cream, you shout, you're my favorite enemy. I want to hurt you like you're hurting me. Up, down, your mood swing with more extremity. This heartache won't go away.
I lose when you get close. Feel my body choke.
I think I've spoken about here when I used to trash the living room to Kelly Osbourne's album.
Oh my God, if I was your mum, oh no.
Like, let all my aggressions out. I was only about 10 or 11,
what
I bet.
What did you do? Like, throw the pillows
I'd
around?
Get the sofa covers everywhere, throw them off, get all like the DVDs out, throw them around.
What did your mum say? You better clean that up after you're done, Jolie.
Just let me rock on! And like poor Kylie and one of her friends would just be sat there. Just so
like...
Oh,
you went by yourself?
No. I love an audience, darling.
I don't doubt it for a second, JB.
Well, Sugar Babes listeners and anyone from the Pop Justice forums, let us know at Right Back Pod on Instagram and Twitter. They're the best places to let us know what your favourite and least favourites of this album were. What have we missed out? So this album was a soaring number one smash hit here in the UK, David.
Their first number one album.
Now, I'm guessing you didn't bunk off school to get it this week because it went in at 67 in Australia.
I mean, yikes, but still, at least it wasn't on the Hit Seekers chart. It actually entered the main Australian albums chart.
New Zealand, thank you. A bit better than old... David and his pals down under, number 16. We do appreciate that. Thank you. Number 5 on the Austrian albums, 5 on the European albums, 11 in Germany. It did go in at number 7 in Ireland. On the year-end chart of 2005, David, this was the 22nd best-selling album in the UK. And in the 2006 end-of-year charts, it was at number 87. It feels like a tiny bit that like the wider public has forgotten what a success story the Sugar Babes are. So it's just great for us to like really spell it out and take a moment in time to pause, celebrate, enjoy, remind... And yeah, just such a success story and such just bettering, getting more exciting.
And now we're going to get to December 2005 with a second single from Taller in More Ways, Ugly.
When I was 7, they said I was strange. I noticed that my eyes and hair weren't the same. I asked my parents if I was okay. They said you're more beautiful and that's the way. They show that they wish that they had your smile. So my confidence was up for a while.
Oh, David, I loved this song then and I love it now. It's such a beautiful song. It's, you know, it's also important that our mainstream pop stars do have songs like these. Taking down the, like, glimmer and facade for a minute in a way and being a bit more real, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially back then, we didn't have the kind of like accessibility of everything now, and like hopefully if you're struggling now with stuff, you can find your people on the internet, you mm-hmm. can follow positive accounts. There's, you know, hope. There's your corner of the internet to find and express yourself. There just didn't seem like there was then. Even just a song like this, it's really important.
The Sugar Babes haven't traditionally been this type of heart-on-the-sleeves kind of pop purveyors. Do you know what I mean? Stronger was an empowering song. This one, you listen to it straight away and you know, okay, it's sweet, it's sentimental, and it's fitting for a big girl group to do something like this at this point, as you said. Now, they got lots of comparisons for Ugly with TLC's Unpretty, which was also written and produced by Dallas Austin.
So. Yeah, and I think in a way it also felt like them respectfully clapping back to the media, because the media can be cruel, the public can be cruel sometimes.
Yeah, Keisha was saying in interviews that they were called sugar lumps and all these types of things about the shape of their bodies, which is like horrible.
Disgusting.
And come on, they've been in a public eye for, at this point, over 5 years.
Grind you down, mate.
Yeah, it does. And they're young women, you know, barely out of their teens.
Being subjected to things that no one should be subjected to. You know, listen to our music, watch the performances. You don't need to sit there and be a judge or a critique of every little thing, you know?
Which is funny because the music video, they were playing judges. It was kind of like Sugar Babes judging Britain's Got Talent or something like that. Shot in a New York warehouse, lots of different people auditioning with their different talents.
I wish we had seen something a little bit more adjacent to Christina's Beautiful or something like that, you know, because the story of the Sugar Babes is that they're real girls. Obviously, Mucci's solo song is that she's a real girl.
I think that would have been a really bold and really commendable move if they did a video that raw. Yeah, you could take those creative risks and they could really, really pay off. And it adds another dimension to the song. But I think maybe the thinking with the video was like, let's just get something feel good out in December. Do it in the most vanilla way possible that reaches the broadest audience without offending or scaring anyone.
So, David, this song had some really interesting B-sides. It had a cover of The Beatles Come Together. It is adjacent to the message of Ugly in a way. Was it needed? I don't know.
I don't think I've ever listened to that, to be honest. But the B-side that I had on the Australian version was Future Shock. And that blew my mind, JB. I mean, honestly, edgy, Aaliyah-style R&B banger. I was Future Shook.
Exactly.
I know you got the feeling. We're not together, we can hit the ceiling. Fill me if you come with that some amount of healing. Cause I don't want a man who can understand. Can I get a picture to buy? This is all about the future.
This song was a huge UK number 3 hit here. Now, this is in December. You know, it's a difficult time. So considering that Too Lost in You went in at 10 the previous December, it's now they've got a top 3 hit, which is absolutely fan-bloody-tastic. It was also number 4 in Scotland, 5 in New Zealand. Thank you, New Zealand. 13 in Australia. Hey-ho, there you go. Well done for getting that one, David. 8 and 13 in Belgium, respectively, on their 2 charts. Where else you got? 3 and 4 in Denmark, 8 in Finland, 7 in Hungary, 7 in Ireland.
Also, we must say, this is a favourite of the girls to perform live, and it always sounds fantastic when they do it acoustically. And they actually performed this at the Nobel Peace Prize, Joel. Introduced by none other than
Siobhan.
Not Siobhan, but a lookalike, Julianne Moore, who said, please welcome the fresh and passionate Sugar Babes.
Hollywood royalty.
Imagine backstage. Julianne, what is your favourite Sugar Babes song?
I love Future Shark. Or do you girls prefer Shook or Shark? Well, I loved that. And gotta be you. It's gotta be me. I love it. I mean, I was on Newsweek that week, Mucci, and the things they write about you, how do you stick with it, really? So it seems, you know, Sugar Babes are on top better than ever. It seems like literally going from heights to heights. But we did, unfortunately, on December the 21st, lose one of our founding members of the Sugar Babes. Mutia decides to leave the band. Now, this had been rumoured for a little while because there'd been she was missing some performances and stuff like that. And you know how the tabloids are anyway. There's always a rumour going around.
I think it was a challenging time for Mutia. She years later said that she was battling with postnatal depression after giving birth to a daughter. And I think combined with the group's crazy schedule of promoting and, you know, they had a tour the following year. Like, can you imagine? Like, it was just so relentless as it is. And you're going to add a big tour on top of that. Like, she just thought, nah, I'm tapping out. I'm going to spend some time with my daughter. I'm just going to have a bit of normal life, you know, because she's been working since she was barely a teenager.
Yeah. And so for a bit of context, right, at the time when she had left, her daughter was only 6 months old. So she had given birth to a baby 6 months ago. It's mad how much the band had done in that time frame and she had been rushed into. This is a time when she should have still been on maternity leave. Like, the management need to have put in a lot more care there. You know, work something out that, you know, maybe she doesn't need to miss performances. Maybe she doesn't need to appear at all of them.
And I think when you've worked so hard and you've achieved so much success, and she's probably thinking at this point, like, fucking hell, I've been with a group. We finally achieved our first number one album. Like, if there was ever a time I was happy to leave, it would be like,
this is it.
Off you go, girls. Like, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, get that fire exit door open. And I know some people can say, well, then, you know, she said that, but then she's releasing her solo stuff. It's very different being a solo act. You're there on your own schedule.
Yeah, but that was like 2 years after she gave birth. It might have been a moment of reflection, a bit of space. But the point is that I felt like she wasn't given space and none of the girls were given space to really think and reflect at this time. If you're in the Sugar Babes juggernaut, you just kept going. It's a very all or nothing situation. Like,
yeah.
No one really knows what happens. But for me, Mutya, Keisha and Heidi, these three are the Sugar Babes to me in my heart. And obviously I love MKS and I love the lineup that comes afterwards. But from my heart and my nostalgia, it's Mutya, Keisha and Heidi.
Every lineup brought something. This is a shade-free place at Right Back At You.
Yeah.
But the first three lineups, especially for me, all bring me different types of nostalgia and feel so personable to me. Like, I love Mutya so much, but then the Amel stuff, like I've said before, is the only time I got to see them when they were, you know, the Sugar Babes, first run continuously, the Sugar Babes. But it feels like we shouldn't have to compare.
No, we should just celebrate all of it.
Exactly. So they announce Mutya's departing the group, and in the same day, they announce that Amel has joined the band with the official press shot of the band, which was very tiny, low quality of the time. That was a lot to show that, you know, things had been going on behind the scenes and, you know, this wasn't a sudden, I mean, maybe it was sudden they moved really fast, or maybe this had been sort of slowly being planned for maybe a few weeks.
I think it was probably a few weeks where brand Sugar Babes and management had become very adept by this point in managing a change, because this is their third lineup change. And also the Sugar Babes are more successful than ever. They are not fucking about. They are not rocking this boat, honey. So when one member leaves, we're going to have the pressure up for the next one in. And we're going to announce it a few days before Christmas. So, you know, press might be a bit quiet. They might not pick up on it. They might not go big on it. And yeah, that's it. We'll see you in March with a new music video.
It felt like they announced it, but because everything was full steam ahead, you were kind of like, has she left? You know, nothing was ending, nothing, you know, the tour was still happening. Tickets are still on sale. I was trying to get tickets for the tour. She left. I was like, oh, okay. So I kind of held off. And then it was like, no, it really is still going. So I got the tickets for the tour. So
in comes Amel Baraba.
Ugh, legend. We did quickly learn and love her. And we have some great stuff in.
So let's talk about Amel Baraba. A self-confessed Sugar Babes fan from Hampshire. She feels like someone who's been, you know, auditioning, trying to crack into the industry for the longest time. Her and her sister formed a duo called Boo 2, and they were trying to find a record deal. And at some point, Amel also entered a Top of the Pops magazine Star Search competition, and she won a chance to be a lead singer of a new group that performed at Party in a Park. Now, I don't know what happened to that. Fast forward to 2005, age 21, Amel got the call that any Sugar Babes fan in the performing arts could ever dream of. So that was Amel talking to the news. For years, I've dreamt of breaking into the music business, but never did I dream of waking up one day to be the third Sugar Babe. Heidi said, our management introduced us to Amel as someone they knew with an amazing voice, who looked great, and just as important, was already a big fan of the band. When we all met her, We knew instantly she was the only person that we could share the rest of the journey with us.
Oh, thank you, Heidi. Yeah, that's great. I love it. I love being part of the Sugar
Babes. I'm really nervous, but I'm so happy still. Just so happy.
This is the first interview you've done, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I've never done anything like this before.
How did you hear that you were going to be in the band?
Well, basically, it's just happened literally in this past week that it's been mad. It's been absolutely madness. But I heard that it was going to be a maybe literally nearly 10 days ago. And then suddenly I've done the single yesterday. It's just been so quick. I don't even know what's been happening, to tell you honestly. It just happened so quick. But yeah, I'm just so happy still though. I'm just so chuffed.
Now, Keisha, how do you reckon she's going to go down with the fans?
I think they're going to love her. She's just got so much personality and she's got a great voice above everything else. So they'll like her.
Yeah.
They'll like her.
So when Mutya told you that she was going to leave, there was no talk at all that you were going to split up. You knew you were going to carry on with somebody else anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've all always said that, you know, if we weren't enjoying it, we wouldn't do it anymore. And, you know, me and Keisha still really want to be part of Sugar Babes and think that Sugar Babes has got a long way to go. And, you know, we totally respect Mutya's decision and wish her all the best.
And I remember reading interviews at the time, like Keisha even saying that it's really freaky that even Amel's handwriting was very similar to Mutya's.
Do you think it feels like they just went for someone that, not just, sorry, that's really underselling it, but do you think if they went purposefully for someone that had a very distinct, similar voice to Mutya? Because when Heidi came in and replaced Siobhan, I think they have very different voices. It's like, I can go back to a song and I need to double check that that isn't a re-recording with Amel sometimes.
She does have the raspy quality and she does... I think we're going to see more of Amel's swag with the next album. That's what I would say. Because, you know, it's very hard when you're coming in and you're being told these are the tracks you have to re-record and go on tour and perform.
Yeah, and I guess it was a very different thing.
You can't put your own personal injection into it. Obviously, you've not written it. You know, it's a job. At this point, this album, it's a job for Amel. She's not an artist yet as part of the Sugar Babes.
Whereas when Heidi came in, there was a moment and like they were coming out with new material. It was a reincarnation of the Sugar Babes.
Yeah, and they were between labels at the time. Amel came in literally fucking mid-campaign on a hit number one album.
Yeah, and I guess you needed to pick someone that did have similar vocal qualities that could slot in.
And can go on tour literally in 3 months and do the whole catalogue.
And then at the end of February... A week before Red Dress, the first single with this new member is released, they re-released the album. I always thought it went Red Dress, then re-release of the album. But no, they got the album out first.
On the internet, suddenly there was a new artwork for the album with the new lineup. They look like they're going to the races. Keisha's got the fucking fascinator on with the lace. There was a new re-recorded version of Red Dress, also Follow Me Home, and Got To Be You, which is the track that all the girls were buzzing about wanting to be the next single.
Yeah, I mean, that was some real fast turnaround.
The record label's like, what's likely to be used as a potential single?
Yeah.
So off you go, Amel. Plus, on top of that, there is a new song called Now You're Gone, which is written by Amel with the girls.
Now, I think this is a really lovely Sugar Babes track. It feels like in a similar vein of Too Lost In You and Run For Cover, but in a 2006 with Amel vibe.
Yeah.
And then the following week, they released the third single off the album, the first single with Amel, Red Dress. Now, I love this song. We have to say Mutya famously doesn't like this song.
Oh, she hates this song, doesn't she?
So I was watching an Instagram live that she was on at some point this year, and she joked that she had said when she was still in the band that she didn't like Red Dress. If they were going to pick Red Dress as the next single, she was leaving. And then she joked, well, I left and they did do Red Dress. She said that wasn't the reason why, but she did make a joke about it. Cooler than the red dress. I'd rather get your guy on my own.
Whereas said Push the Button was like, oh, in the bloom of my youth, me coming out, trying to find a boyfriend. Red Dress was like, really spoke to me as a young man. I was like, yes, I've played the desperate lady. Jumped through all of the hoops. This music video, oh my God, America's Next Top Model is shaking.
Oh, I love that. I've never thought of it like that before.
It is an America's Next Top Model promo video, isn't it? The catwalk, the red dress, the lights.
Yeah, it feels like it's giving them a moment to enjoy what this lineup is going to be. It feels like there was just more room to just maybe go for it this time with the catwalk, the kind of crawling around on that like feathery, carpety, seated stuff. I loved this song then and I loved it now. So this was a top four hit here in the UK. Number two in Scotland, About Fucking Time. Thank you, baby. 12 in Ireland. Silent stare. 22 in Australia. 14 in Denmark. 14 on the European Hot 100. Lots going on. 51 in Romania. Hello.
Indeed. And also we can't talk about this single without referencing the very iconic B-side, which is a cover of the Arctic Monkeys song, I Bet You Look Good on a Dance Floor. That song actually replaced Push the Button on top of the charts the year before.
Yeah,
I mean,
I saw the Babes sing that live. Queens of NME, Inde and Rocker. Yeah, it was amazing. Like, this was such a famous cover for them. So, David, I went to this tour, the Tour in More Ways tour. I had great seats. I was like 10th row at the Hammersmith Apollo in the stalls. I was so excited. We have only seen one single of Amel. We don't really know what we're in for. But luckily, like, the hits and the other girls, it speaks for themselves. But I just fell in love with her instantly. And I was so in love with the songs and the shows, obviously. And I was so excited to see the Sugar Babes. It just felt like she was welcomed with open arms straight away. And that doesn't mean we love Mutia any less. Like, I'm a huge Mutia fan. Mm-hmm. They opened with Round Round and it was great. They had like this big white sheet. You know how like, and you know how shows can start? It was a big white sheet. Round Round starts and you just see the silhouettes of them. Three mics, three girls.
Oh my God.
And I think they started probably, it was probably like band playing and then it would just go round, round, and then a bit more music. Like really teased you and it's going, we're screaming. It was mad. And then it drops and you see the girls. And I do remember at the time thinking that Amel seemed a little nervous at the beginning of the show. But I mean, rightfully so. It's a huge tour, a whole, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour show, lots to take in. She's only been there for a few months, but she really came into her own as the show went on, you know, getting comfortable and really owned being up there on the stage. And it was so wonderful to see that and feel like you were a tiny part of that.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're just right there in front of you. I was just so obsessed and like, just wanted to like see more because it was, we hadn't seen that much of it and it was seeing it right in front of your very eyes. It was just a lot to take in a really, really good way. Their vocals are so wonderful to hear in the room, whatever lineup you get. They're so magical. And I got a poster that night of, which was basically the Tool Room Always front cover with Amel on. That was up prized spot in my bedroom for a very long time. We also have to give a shout out to the iconic moment on Girls Aloud off the record where Sugar Babes and Girls Aloud are at CD UK. Sugar Babes come in to meet Girls Aloud in the dressing room. Cheryl saying, all really lovely, saying hello to Amel, meeting Amel's sister and goes, are you the new Sugar Babe, ma'am? And she's like, no, I'm her sister.
Literally twin sister.
And Cheryl's going, oh my God. Oh my, why did I say that? Why did I just, oh, do you hear what I just said? I just said to the new Sugar Babe sister, are you the mum? Oh, no. She goes, no, I'm the sister. Why did I say that? Everybody thinks my mum's my sister. Why didn't I just say that? What was I doing? My new castle's not good, guys, I know, but just go with it.
I do remember watching that and just went, Cheryl, like,
Yeah, you're like, oh, we've my all God. Been there. We've all oh been there, so don't you worry about it, Shezza.
You just can't recover in time because you're in so much of a shock.
Yeah.
And now comes June 2006, the final single from Taller in More Ways, which is Follow Me Home. Now, Joel, I must say, for me, this is not the most memorable Sugar Babe single, but I do have it in my living room. It's up there.
The song come alive in the live performance. That's where it feels like the song really meets its new heights. And you can understand they probably really loved singing it live. It sounds amazing. And maybe obviously they've just done the tour. It's like, all right, great, Follow Me Home, that's the next single. But to me, it just isn't captured in the studio version. And it just feels more like a solid album track than a standout single.
The only thing I really love about it is the vocals and the orchestral strings. Like, this feels like a big, big budget charity single, doesn't it? The music video was shot in Prague. Very cinematic, wintry vibes. I mean, this is in the middle of the European summer.
Yeah, it's a very strange music video, I think, though.
It was giving me, like, kind of Sky Network crime drama.
Yeah, it was just, and I just don't think we were there for it. Like, if you look back at like Will Young's music videos, he always did these very cinematic, more mini movies than music videos. But this, I just don't think they established that well enough. And the storyline's a bit strange. And I understand they were really going for something, but it just doesn't.
It read a bit off.
I'll be honest. Okay, look, none of it worked for me. Okay, I'm gonna just say it.
And also it didn't help that Mutya at the time said very scathingly about the video, I just saw a bunch of perverted men and paedophile guys.
I mean,
she went there.
She kind of is saying what we're all thinking, though, in a way. I don't know if something was watered down along the way, if like they were really going to go for something and then that's what we got. Do the edgy thing. Like, we want to see these like dramatic, groundbreaking mini movies. Like, go for it. We're not being negative, but maybe the album campaign should have finished a song earlier if this is what was going to be it.
But unfortunately, this single made number 32 in the UK. Not unfortunately, but right back at your terms. But, you know, compared to the grander scheme of things, the winning streak, this single is a little bit forgotten. But, you know, it will always have a place on my shelf in my living room.
25 in Ireland.
Oh, thank you, Ireland. Sat up for that one.
Shall we fast forward to November 2006, David? And within under a year of Amel being part of this band, they release They're Apparently Always Scheduled and Planned to Be, but Mutya leaving made them realise they really should go ahead with it. Greatest Hits.
Overloaded the singles collection with two original songs featuring Amel.
Let's talk about the single Easy, which came out a week before.
Oh, JB.
DL.
Cheeky.
It is what it
is. It's cheeky. It's fun. You know what? I was actually more for this at the time of release than I am right now. Like, listening to it back, I just cannot.
Hey, Mr. Postman, where's the mail for my mailbox?
I got a landing strip just for you at the airport. Or whatever it is. It's like, honey.
So, what I think this song is, right? This song does the job as the new single for the greatest hits. It worked enough at the time, but it hasn't aged well at all as a great hit. And I think if and when we're going to get the career definitive Sugar Babes Greatest Hits, I don't think this one will be on.
Oh, no, honey. No.
I think they were trying to do like edgy electro, which felt current, to tack onto the Greatest Hits, but it just didn't work.
Well, they worked with Orson on these two tracks, which was meant to be cool, incredible, whatever. You know, maybe the Enemy reviewers at the time would have paid attention to it, but...
We don't need it. This song's music video was filmed in a public toilet at a club in Romford. I can't believe I'm only finding that out today.
Have you been in those toilets yourself?
I don't know what club it was. I don't know what club it was. I'll have to send it to my sisters and go, do any of you recognise what club these toilets are from?
Imagine your older sister's like, yeah, I was in there when Heidi was doing her routine in the cubicle. Come on, baby, I'll make it easy.
Did you need any more toilet paper? Also, Heidi's iconic red wig. Siobhan is not back, everyone. That is still Heidi Range.
No. I bet Heidi watched that Britney Spears Toxic video and thought...
I want to see that. What they should have done is they should have done a scene in the club and we'd just seen the back of a redhead and a dark-haired person and the other three sugar babes like, oh, who's that over there? And that's meant to be like a nod to Mutia and Siobhan.
Yeah, love it.
So, this song... I'm guessing it charted. Let me have a look at the notes.
It made number 8 in the UK, which is very impressive for me. And Easy by the Sugar Babes actually was released on the same day as Mutia's first solo foray. Her duet with George Michael, This Is Not Real Love, came out on the very same day.
Wow.
So I remember like in the press, the Sugar Babes were asked about it. And like Heidi was like, oh yeah, you know, George Michael wanted to record with Mutia ages ago, like even when she was still with us in the band. And then Keisha was like, yeah, you know, we tried to change the release schedule so we wouldn't go up against Mutia, but you know, it is what it is. And yeah, number 8 for Easy.
It is what it is. It's a real shame that the Mutia song didn't get a music video and no real post really, because it still went at like number 15 with nothing. So that was amazing and a real credit to it. Anyway, Easy is here. It's Easy Enough. The next week, they are giving us Overloaded, the singles collection.
Now, Joel, this one feels like a very big singles collection to me because I remember seeing the DVD and the CD everywhere in Australia. And, you know, I'm not going to be funny about it because we do love the Sugar Babes in all the lineups, but to see a best of with Mel on the cover, I was like, you weren't really there for it, but okay.
I think if it was released now, we're a lot more inclusive in terms of the pop bands and lineups and how these things work. And maybe it would have been nice to have a montage of covers and all the girls that had been in the band to that point.
Oh, no image at all, just Sugar Babes.
But you know what bands were like back then. It was like, this is the current lineup and you are not getting the previous lineups because here is where we're at.
Yeah, and also I think with Sugar Babes as well, I think there was the intention that they would continue as a band, which they did with Amel. So it's like better to just solidify that image because they don't want to look like it's the end of the Sugar Babes by doing a best of, do they?
No, but as they said, they were always planning to do a greatest hits at that time of the year. And this will be a nice closing chapter of that part of the band. And then they can continue with the next chapter of the Sugar Babes. So there was another song on this album, David, Good to Be Gone. Now, that was actually due to be the second single off the Greatest Hits, but it got cancelled because they ended up collabing with Girls Aloud, which I'm guessing we'll talk about in part 3. That'll be the opening part of part 3.
I really liked Good to Be Gone. Sadly, I don't think it's actually on streaming. Is it?
No, it's not. We don't know why. And I wouldn't even say as far as it's a choice. I think it's just paperwork somewhere where it's not online, you know? And you know it's all over me, but I couldn't care less. Cause now it's some other girl and some other red dress. And I'm gone. So good, so good to be gone. So I didn't buy the Greatest Hits CD, even though I wanted it so much. I bought the DVD Well,
oh, did you? The DVD.
I got the DVD that Christmas. That was like top of my Christmas list. Despite being called the singles collection, this album does not contain all of the group's previous singles. New Year, what? Soul Sound, Angels with Dirty Faces, and Follow Me Home, their last single before Easy, are not on there. Run for Cover is on there as a bonus track on the UK version.
What is going on?
Well, they're only including the big hits. They wanted to omit a few numbers. And Run for Cover is only a bonus track. I went to see, they did a greatest hits show that coincided with the album coming out that month at the Dominion Theatre. They did a full greatest hits show and then that was televised after.
Wow.
So that year, 2006, I got to see the girls twice. It was incredible. And again, great seats. I think I was like fourth row or something at the Dominion Theatre, seeing the girls so up close and personal.
Who did you go with?
I went with two of my sisters, Elise and Kylie.
Now, were they as big as Sugar Babes fans as you were?
No, it felt like I kind of had to drag them along a bit. They knew all the songs. They still loved it. We were up dancing all night to every song.
But also, this is like a real crowd pleaser kind of show.
It was fantastic.
Isn't it? So did your sisters, from your memory at the time, say anything about this lineup?
No, I probably talked at them. They probably got like the 15-year-old conversation of like the version of this.
This is Amel. She's new in the band, yeah. Be nice to her. Cheer whenever she comes on.
So then they did do a greatest hits tour, an arena tour, the next year. And I didn't go because, A, I was a kid, so I didn't have loads of money. Also, I've been so lucky to see them quite intimately twice this year. I don't want to ruin that by seeing them in an arena tour. So what a way to say, like, to round up. But also, they don't end. Like, there's still so much. I mean, they're technically their biggest hit is to come in our next episode.
We're very lucky for a band like the Sugar Babes to have such longevity that you can have various moments throughout their discography where you feel stronger than others. Some people don't get past two singles, love. And look at the legacy of the Sugar Babes. We're doing a three fucking part. So that is what icons and legends they are.
It was such an exciting time to just have great major label successful pop music, because I know we're a noughties pop music podcast and that's what we celebrate, but at this time in the noughties it didn't feel like you had it a lot. It was especially like kids TV shows were dwindling, all that era of stuff wasn't as big as it once was, so this we had to really grab onto and it was absolutely fantastic. So look, David, thank you so much. It's been such a joy to really get into Sugar Babes part one and two here. I really can't wait to get into part three. Now, we don't know when that is, so guys, just keep waiting in anticipation. But we're going to get into a few other people before then. We've got a really exciting 2021 planned for you guys. So you can follow us at Right Back Pod on all socials, Facebook, Twitter, and especially Instagram. That's where we have the most fun and zest for life. I'm at Dr_Joel B on all socials, and he is
at Love Limmy.
And you can email our hearts anytime, rightbackpod@gmail.com. Until next time, bye.